It's always helpful when you're trying to unpack a gospel to look at what Jesus was doing immediately before the text that we hear each Sunday. And it's revealing when you look in the Gospel of St. Matthew and you see what our Lord was doing right before he gave this beautiful prayer and this consoling exhortation. Because immediately before this, you could see the anguish, the frustration, and the hurt of Jesus. You see, our Lord had traveled from village to village throughout Galilee. And yes, while many people received him with open arms, nonetheless, everywhere he went, he encountered great hostility. Just imagine, a man shows up in your neighborhood preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he claims to have divine authority. He forgives sins, he speaks in the name of God, he performs mighty deeds and miracles, and people worship him and give him homage, and he doesn't say stop. You would think, this is a madman. So Jesus was met with hostility because there is a certain scandal then and now to the human mind that God could become human. That the Almighty could lower himself in such abasement, such humility, to be one with us as the God-man. And as Jesus was going, this is the frustration that he manifests in the gospel right before this passage. He says, in condemnation of these villages, "Woe to you, Bethsaida! Woe to you, Capernaum!" Remember, Capernaum is the place where Jesus gave his bread of life discourse and performed the miracle of the loaves and gave that great teaching on the Eucharist. "Woe to you, Capernaum! It would be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." And if you remember, Sodom was destroyed by fire because of their wickedness. So Jesus finds himself frustrated because he is laboring to make known his Father in heaven, and many people choose not to receive his message. It's the same today, brothers and sisters. Whenever the fullness and the truth of our gospel is proclaimed, as beautiful and welcoming as it is, there will always be people who can't receive what Jesus has to offer. Because Jesus inevitably, while he always calls the sinners, he demands of each one of us repentance and conversion. Yes, Jesus loved to be with tax collectors and sinners so that he could reconcile them with his Father. Because we have to be made holy to be brought into the presence of God. Nothing unholy can dwell in his presence. And so Jesus does this rescue mission to reconcile us rebellious sinners, to bring us back to the Father's house. And so Jesus, in our gospel today, exclaims, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have revealed these to the little ones and hidden them from the wise and the clever." You see, Jesus is the revelation of God. If you talk to Protestants, the mindset is, if you ask them, what is revelation? They'll tell you, the scripture. We believe in sola scriptura. But that's not the Catholic answer to what is revelation. You and I, when somebody asks us, well, what is God's revelation? We say, the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity that the Father sends. He is the very revelation of God because he is God. God didn't send another prophet to reveal who he was. He sent his Son. But Jesus makes clear that only those who are little can understand this revelation. The proud, the wise, and the clever will not come to faith in him because their hearts are hardened. Those who are lowly, those who are humble, those who are broken and recognize their need for salvation and their total dependency on the mercy of Christ and of God, those are the ones that the Father sends his Son to be close to. And so while holiness is demanded of each of us, we should find great consolation that the Savior's arms remain open to all who stand in need of forgiveness. The next part of his teaching is also just as mind-blowing. He says, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son has chosen to reveal him. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you fall on your knees every day in an ardent act of thanksgiving, because blessed are we here in this church. We are the ones that Jesus has chosen to reveal his Father to. We are the ones who dare to say Sunday after Sunday, day after day, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. What a privilege we have that Jesus has brought us into his inner life to with him call God Abba. And yes, Abba means father, but in the Hebrew, it really means daddy. The word that Jesus gives for our Father is such a childlike and personal term. Abba, daddy. That is who God is for us. Jesus has come to reveal the Father to us. And then lastly, he gives us one of the most consoling passages in his teachings. He says, come to me, you who are burdened. Burdened by what? Burdened by sin. By your own sin. By the effects of sin that other people inflict on you and the pain that that brings. You know, brothers and sisters, we can spend so much of our lives thinking that sin doesn't really have consequences. But anybody who's lived in a life of sin long enough knows that it's disastrous. It causes pain, it causes heartache, it causes drama, it creates fear, anxiety, isolation. Oh, a little bit of drugs, you know, it's okay, it's legal now. Yeah, until you see the family breakdown, and you see you can't keep a job, and you can't keep relationships, and everybody gets pushed away. Yeah, it's harmless. Sin is so insidious, and the evil one is so, so sneaky. He tries to convince us, it's all good, you're an adult, you don't need that. It's not true. God's law is freedom, It is joy. When we come to Christ, he takes away the burden. Father, you don't get it. Yes, God is merciful, but he could never love me. Oh, yes, he can, and he does. No one is unworthy of God's love because his Son has made it so. And if we challenge that, then we make of God a liar. Each and every one of us is loved by God, and he invites us, come to me. I will give rest for your soul. That rest requires that you and I, in coming to Jesus, each and every day become more repentant for our selfishness, for our sin, for our pride, and more in love with him. Then he says, how is he going to do this? Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and lowly of heart. What is a yoke? A yoke is a wooden beam that combines two oxen together around the neck so that the oxen can pull a plow together. What Jesus is telling us is that we're being invited to put our neck next to his and to labor in this world with him, so that in each and every moment we walk side by side with Jesus. And what's so powerful about that image of the yoke is that the two oxen, as they have the same mission, as they're moving in the same direction, they look at the same thing. As we pull with Jesus and we let him be the main protagonist who guides us, because he is Lord, not us, as we let him move us forward, we begin to see things, people, the events of our lives with the same vision in which Christ saw us. And as we see reality more and more from his perspective, which is the only true perspective, all of that attachment to our sins, to our addictions, to our struggles, little by little, we become free of, because we've learned to take up his yoke and learn from him. And in his heart, we discover there is no bitterness, no frustration, no anxiety. There's only, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.